Welcome to The Leap, a success podcast for ambitious leaders. Each week, we bring you the tools, knowledge, and inspiration to fuel your next big leap. Now, here's your host, Harriet Schumacher, leadership expert and executive coach.
Welcome, everyone. Thank you for tuning in. It's Harriet Schumacher. This is the Leap Podcast, and I am sitting here in my office. It's a gorgeous sunny morning. I've just come back from an amazing spin class, and I am feeling ready to share this morning and really talk about courage and what it takes to practice courage. And it's a conversation where I find myself in a lot, both personally and professionally as a coach. Courage infuses everything that we do. And so I want to talk about it today. I want to talk about some ways in which you can maybe understand courage and practice it a little bit more. And maybe hopefully my real intention with this cast is to inspire you to want to practice more courage yourself and to do something. Like I say to my young daughter, you know, do one thing a day that scares you. Be brave every day to challenge yourself and get past your fears. And so I want to get started by saying, you know, we are always practicing something. And I think that leadership is a practice and life is definitely a practice. But the question is, what are you practicing? Because there is a direct link between our practices and our results. I've seen that for myself. You know, I can be practicing sitting on the couch, eating some Doritos and watching TV, and I can practice that and it feels really good. I can also practice getting up at 5 a.m. and going to the gym. Those two practices are going to lead to very different results. So you feel me here? That's what we're talking about. In my work with leaders and teams, what I find the practice that is missing the most is the practice of courage. It is left behind in conversations, in meeting rooms, in boardrooms, in presentations, in strategic planning, in feedback. It is left behind from conversation to conversation. And this missing piece, the lack of courage, costs people the most. But when it's present, when it shows up, when we practice courage, it makes the biggest difference. It is the lever that we need to pull to get the kind of results that we want, the kind of results which build, you know, better performance, ultimately, you know, a healthier bottom line, but also more meaningful connection with the people who we care about. And I think for most of us, like, we see courage and we recognize courage in, you know, these grand heroic deeds. We see it, you know, in movies, and we have a very clear conditioned understanding of what, you know, is that courage belongs to a handful of really brave people. But I really believe that courage is practiced most in, you know, day-to-day interactions and small moments. It's a choice that we have to make. And so courage may be failing you where it counts the most in these day-to-day interactions with people who are central to your success and happiness, with your peers, with your boss, with your coworkers, with your spouse, with your kids, with your best friend. Courage is probably needed there more than anywhere else in your life. And so, you know, courage, no doubt, you know, why do we lack it, or why do we not choose not to be courageous? And I think, you know, because courage is practicing it is usually, there's some emotion attached to it. It's usually fueled by some strong emotions. And I would say that courage is primarily driven or not driven due to fear. One of my most favorite quotes of all time from Mark Twain, I was in a hotel in Boston and I came back after teaching for the day and it was on my pillow. And the quote said, courage is not absence of fear, but mastery of fear. And I've carried that with me all these years because really, you know, the bottom line there is that courage is being afraid but doing it anyway. And so think about this practice of courage versus practice of fear. And think about this in the context of day-to-day interactions. So how many times have you told someone what you thought they wanted to hear rather than what you really wanted to say? And how many times have you done that? Or how many times have you, you know, not really gotten to the root of the issue with somebody, not really gotten in and really named clearly what was going on from your perspective? So instead, you're painting, you know, you're putting on rose-colored glasses and really glossing over problems or pretending that there's no issue whatsoever. Well, you know, why do we do this? Well, because we're afraid of calling things out. We're afraid of rocking the boat. And this desire to, you know, keep our jobs, save face, you know, please people, you know, keep ourselves in good standing with maybe our boss or other colleagues, overrides our real, you know, desire to be courageous and let people know that, you know, maybe we don't think that the plan is as rock solid as everyone else thinks it is, for example. And so, you know, we've seen the negative implications, the risk that comes from being courageous. We've seen people who have spoken up and spoken out. We've heard of whistleblowers. And we've seen what's happened in those instances, how people have been frozen out or uninvited to the meeting or fired for being the person who wants to challenge the status quo by practicing courage. We've seen people not be labeled as a team player. I mean, I know for myself, over the years, previous to me starting my own company, inside organizations, I would always be labeled as overly passionate, too passionate, because I would really challenge and push back on what I was hearing and, you know, really try to get people to think outside of the box rather than sitting back and just like, you know, all being doing the corporate nod. And so, you know, over time, you know, my choice was to leave corporate and to go out and do my own thing. But what I see happen inside organizations over and over again when we're not allowing people to practice courage is that people begin to believe and tell themselves that being courageous is risky. And they tell themselves, I'm not going to put myself in the firing line. I'm not going to stick my neck out on the line here. I don't want to rock the boat because I'm afraid of the retaliation or the pushback or what might happen. So I'm going to play it cool. So that's what we end up doing. We practice withholding what we really think and feel, which costs us greatly. We leave our courageous, authentic, brave self at home and we come to work with nothing, you know, valuable to contribute. So meetings produce, you know, nothing. They're empty spaces, void of anything really productive or exciting, or they're not really generating any creative or innovative ideas. They never really come to the surface because people are afraid to say what's really on their mind. And so what ends up happening, how decisions end up being made when we lack courage is, you know, when everybody stops thinking, you know, the loudest voice gets heard. And a decision is made, and it's not necessarily the best one. So communication inside an organization becomes very top-down. And I hear this from leaders over and over again. Well, you know, I want my team to contribute. I want them to come and bring their best ideas forward, but they're not saying anything. And so that always is a red flag for me where I wonder, well, I wonder if they're not saying anything because they're afraid to say it. And so, you know, we end up holding back what we really think and feel because we think that it's a career limiting move. And so, you know, speaking the truth or speaking our version of the truth feels career limiting. And I have discovered this over the years is that more people miss out on opportunity, miss out on promotion for being overly cautious rather than courageous. And so, you know, I really want you to think about what a shame this is to create environments and cultures inside our organizations, because typically our first thoughts, you know, our most unfiltered, uncensored thoughts, our instinctual thoughts are usually onto something. It's leading us something. Yet, you know, all too often the courage to capture and voice them fails us because we're gripped in fear. And so what we need more of, the practice that needs to take center stage today, is radical transparency. And to practice that effectively, we need to find our courage. Here is what I believe. And this is, I see this happen over and over. I've seen it in my own life. I see it in every organization and every meeting that I go into, that what gets talked about, how it gets talked about, and who gets invited to the conversation determines what is going to happen and what is not going to happen. And so from a leadership practice perspective, weak leaders want agreement. Weak leaders want everybody to come to the meeting and sit down and validate how brilliant they are. Weak leaders want everybody to be quiet so that they can continue to keep pushing their ideas forward. They are looking for the corporate nod. Strong, courageous leaders want to know the truth. They want to drill down to find out what is going on the front lines. They encourage their people that they lead to paint the whole picture, even if it's not the version that they're subscribing to, even if it challenges or pushes back their idea of what the best decision or what reality looks like. And so, you know, because they've realized that, you know, when I sit around and I look at the headcount of all the people that I'm, you know, essentially signing their paychecks for, what's the value in them coming to this conversation and being quiet? Haven't I hired them for their smarts, for their hearts? So what's the value in me getting them to agree with all of my decisions? I need to challenge their thinking so that I can make the best decisions possible. So the best way to see more courage inside, you know, your life and to practice more of this is by modeling courage yourself. We cannot expect other people to do something that we are not doing ourselves. We need to model courage and accountability for others. And so as a leader, you can let people know that you hope to be influenced by them, that you are open and ready to receive and hear their perspectives, and you anticipate that they're going to be different from yours, that you invite in pushback, and that that's okay. You've got to set the expectation and give people permission to challenge your thinking. And that is one way that you can start embedding some radical transparency inside your organization by telling everybody, listen, I don't have all the answers. I don't necessarily have all of this figured out. And I hired you because I think that you've got valuable perspective that is different from mine that can help us to become better. And so here's some questions that you may want to consider asking your team, asking yourself, even asking at home. And so hopefully these questions will begin to peel back some of the layers to enable you to practice more courage. So question number one is, what am I pretending not to know? That's a powerful question. What am I pretending not to know? We have an amazing skill that we have built up over time of avoiding obstacles, avoiding the realities that are right smack dab in front of us. We're really well developed at avoiding things rather than dealing with them head on. And so that's a question that I have found extremely helpful over the years. When I feel things aren't right, when I feel like I'm being more driven by fear, I've been practicing more fear, I will sit down and I will ask myself that question, Harriet, what are you pretending not to know right now? Another question here. What is the most important thing that we should be talking about? I encourage you to use that question one-to-one with your team in your one-to-one conversations with them. You know, with everything that we've got going on at work right now, with everything that's going on in your life right now, what is the most important thing we should be talking about in this conversation today? And get quiet and let them answer. And over time, they will begin to realize that, wow, you really want to know. You really want me to be courageous and tell you the most important thing, rather than us just going through the motions, pretending like everything is okay. Asking your team, what are the topics that we are not bringing up? What are the undiscussables around here? what are the truths that we all know about, but nobody is talking about, that if we were to get a conversation started on those things, would change everything, or at least make new things possible. And get your conversation started. Ask your team, you know, if I hired you as a consultant for this organization, what advice would you give me right now? You know, the goal here is for them to do the most amount of talking and for you to practice courage by being open and ready to be influenced to hear the different perspectives from the people who are sitting across the table from you. So I want to leave you with a couple final thoughts here. There's a lot we could talk about around courage. I want this podcast to be helpful in every single episode. I want to give you something to reflect on, a tool that you can take away, something that you can apply into the real world. So today it was those questions, but I want to leave you here with some final thoughts before we close. You know, real courage, realness in general, real conversations, choosing to be real, choosing to be courageous can feel incredibly scary. And today our lives are so complex. This tension, this draw to practice courage, I feel is showing up daily. And so it can be scary. It's definitely fueled by fear. But I want you to think about this. Unreal conversations, unreal relationships, leading from a place of fear should scare the hell out of you even more. Because it's a choice that we have to make. Practicing courage is conscious. Practicing fear is also a choice. The choice I invite you to explore and to decide and commit to is, which one are you practicing? Are you leading from a place of courage? Or are you leading from a place of fear? And what kind of culture are you creating inside of your organization as a result of that? Radical transparency can be scary, but it rocks when you finally get to the sweet spot where people feel free to express their opinions, free to tell you what they really think and feel. It builds relationship. It has the potential to unlock growth and success that will not be accomplished without it. It just will not happen. You will limit all the things that you want to create. All of the goals that you want to achieve are on hold, waiting for you to practice radical transparency with yourself first, and then invite other people to do the same. So, radical transparency is not for those people who are interested in living a guarded and careful life. If that's you, then don't do this. Like, don't practice it at home. If, you know, you are wanting to practice a life with more meaning and with more connection, and then it is for those who would rather choose having these types of fierce conversations, having more fierce relationships, and living a life of courage any day of the week. And I want to leave you with this last thought. When you start to think about what are you practicing, I want you to think about there's risk and reward on both sides. There's risk in practicing courage. There's risk in not practicing courage. And so when you start making that choice and start asking yourself, what am I practicing? And you're stepping past fear and moving more towards courage. I want you to remember this in the back of your mind, is that, you know, there's no time like the present, because weeks quickly turn into lives. So thank you so much for tuning in today. I hope you found something from this podcast valuable. If you did, please rate our podcast. We would love that. Or leave us a comment or some feedback, or contact me directly at Harriet@bigleapleadership.com. Thank you so much and have an amazing week. Take care. Bye-bye.